Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin.
This morning, I'm going to bring you part two from last week. I had too many words last week, and so I wasn't able to get them all out. So if you have your Bibles with you, can we turn to the book of Colossians chapter 4? Or it's on the screen if you'd like to read along with me. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And then from the New Living Translation. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that, Lord, we can enter into this place of intimacy with you through prayer, through your word, Lord God. And we just thank you, Father, that as I unpack this scripture a little more today, Lord God, that each one of us would leave this place knowing you more, loving you more, being transformed more by you, because, Lord, it's only you that can bring the changes in our lives that we need. Father, we just pray that, Lord, as this word goes out today, Lord, that you would help me to speak what you want me to speak. Let my tongue be as the pen of a skillful writer today, Lord, that you would receive all the praise and all the glory and all the honour. For, Lord, it's all about you. And we just declare in this place your word is truth, that you are the God of this house and there is no other. And so we commit it into your hands today, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Last week, we looked at three parts of prayer. And I'll just give you a quick rundown. Otherwise, if I give you everything I gave you last week, then I'm going to have to come back next week and do part two again. So, we looked at three aspects of prayer. One was persistence. And Paul begins in this scripture by saying, continue earnestly in prayer. In the original language, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And the word translated, continue steadfastly, is one word in the original language, which is translated, persist in, adhere firmly to, or remain devoted to, or to give unremitting care to. It carries with it the idea of dedication, and prayer for a Christian is not an option. It's a commandment and it's a necessity. And if you've got relationship with someone, you want to communicate with them, but you also want to hear from them. You want to hear what they want to say back to you. We looked also quickly at Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18, where Jesus is instructing, teaching on prayer and having to do with being persistent and not giving up. Luke chapter 11 is a friend comes at midnight and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on this journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And then Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow, and it was the same issues there, that she persisted and God came through for her as well. And then Jesus finished that parable with, I tell you that he will avenge speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So being persistent in prayer is keeping at it. And we looked at that in some depth. But the next aspect of it was passion, praying with passion. And Jesus was passionate about his prayer life, and it was something that he was always doing. And S.D. Gordon, in his book, Quiet Talks on Prayer, this quote really spoke to me. How much prayer meant to Jesus. It was not only his regular habit, but his resort in every emergency, however slight or serious. When perplexed, he prayed. When hard-pressed by work, he prayed. When hungry for fellowship, he found it in prayer. He chose his associates and received his messages when he was on his knees. If tempted, he prayed. If criticized, he prayed. If fatigued in body or wearied in spirit, he had recourse to his one unfailing habit of prayer. Prayer brought him unmeasured power at the beginning and kept the flow unbroken and undiminished. There was no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that would not yield and be broken down in prayer. And every time we saw him praying, it was with passion. In Luke 3, at his baptism, while he was praying, the heavens were opened, and passionate prayer will open heaven above you. In Luke 6:12, before he called his disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. He persisted for the night, but he was passionate in prayer, and that gives direction for any of us who are looking for direction, to be persistent and passionate in seeking God, and he will give that direction. In Luke 9, at his transfiguration, while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And passionate prayer enables us to experience the glory of our Father. John 17, in his high priestly prayer, passionate prayer impacts the lives of others. In Matthew 26, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's only through passionate prayer that we can pour our hearts out to God. Pour your heart before him in passionate prayer. And Luke 23, as he hung on the cross, a life that is lived in passionate prayer will enable us to maintain that spirit even in the most difficult of circumstances. So prayer from the heart, that's what passionate prayer is. It's prayer from the heart, not just religion. It's not rhymes and repetition. It's prayer from the heart, crying out, Abba, Father, help me. Sometimes we don't have the words, we don't know. But when we don't know what to pray, we pray the word, pray the promises of his word. Pray in season and out of season. Pray even when you don't feel like it. Pray because you need to persist in that, because it opens those heavenly realms where you can hear from God. Pray God's will in each situation. And we also spoke about how different our lives might look if we were persistent and passionate in prayer in the good times, not just in the times where we're challenged. How different would our lives look if we were so in communication with God all the time when things are going so great for us, and not just when things are really pressing in on either side? And that was something that really challenged me. You know, when we're going through rough times, it's really easy to pray, cry out to Father. But when we're going through good times, what about the communion that we need to have with God? And just how different would our lives look if we maintain that attitude of persistence and passion? Then we talked about praise, praying with thanksgiving. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20 tells us thanksgiving is a natural result of being filled with and walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything we should pray, giving thanks as we make our petitions known to God. And there's so many more scriptures, but I won't go deeper into that at the moment. The podcast from last week should be up in a few weeks, so that'll be good. So if you didn't catch it up on a podcast, and that'll be good. A grateful and thankful and praising person will have a far better attitude and live a more fulfilling life because of choosing to praise Him, choosing to love Him, and choosing to walk in Him. And do you know what? Even if everything we believe isn't exactly how it is, isn't it still the best way to live? Isn't it still the best way to live your life with a passionate heart, with a heart of praise, thanking God for the things you've got, not what you haven't got, thanking God for the relationships you've got in your life, for the people around you, that you even wake up in the morning? That's a blessing. That's thank you, Lord, you've given me another day, so you're not finished with me yet. And that's awesome. But today I want us to move on to another aspect of prayer, and that's intercession. It's praying with the purpose, the God-centered, the God-focused, Christ-centered, Spirit-led, Word-inspired focus that no matter what's happening in our lives, sometimes God will wake us up in the middle of the night, and He does this with me all the time. These last 3 weeks I've been awake 2-3 hours a night, and you know, initially I was praying, Lord, help me to go back to sleep. But then it was like, no, I've woken you because there's no distractions and the silence, and I want to speak to you and I want to download to you and I want you to listen. And that's the most incredible thing. But as He wakes us, or as He stops us in our tracks, and we feel that sense of, oh, I need to pray, and sometimes you don't even know what it is you're praying about, that's a spirit of intercession. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. It might mean that you're sleep deprived, but it's a good thing, because God's Spirit is communing with our spirit and calling us into that intimate place with Him, so that we can bring the earthly realm, the facts that are around us, and draw them in and bring them into the realm of faith and let God work through those situations. And that's the most incredible thing that I have found in my 26, 7 years of walking with Christ. How long? 92. 27 years, yes. That intercessory prayer, when you go into that secret place with the Most High God and you start to pray in the Spirit. And, you know, the Bible says in Romans, it with groanings and intercessions that you can't make understood, but you know you're communing with God, and that's a powerful thing. We're Pentecostals in this place. We're people that believe in the outpouring of the Spirit for today, of the gifts of the Spirit for today, that we can activate those gifts as God presses us and says, right now, let's do this. And this is so, so important, because otherwise, you know what, it's like, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And when we intermingle the Spirit of God with the Word, that is passionate, persistent, praising prayer that positions us, lots of P's today, that positions us to be in that realm of intimacy with God, so we're getting that download from heaven, and we can groan and intercede, and we can pray even when we don't know what it is we're praying about. Who's ever experienced that when you wake up, or when you God just stops you in your tracks and you get this real thud in the pit of your stomach and you just know you've got to pray? Anybody? Yeah, so many, so many. And that's that communion with God that we need to really persist in. Intercessory prayer is basically praying for others. And the circumstances that you don't necessarily know that or are involved in. It's praying for God's will to be done in the lives of other people. It's a burden that we don't always understand, but we pray it in the Spirit. Intercessory prayer characterized the prayer life of Jesus. And, you know, there's so much scripture. I can't bring a message without it being packed full of the Word, because the Word's eternal and the Word is everything we need. So in Isaiah 53:12, the Bible says, He Himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. That's Jesus bearing our sins, interceding. When He hung on that cross, He was praying not for Himself, but for everyone in this world that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour and God as Father. John 14:15, Jesus interceded for us, asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit. You see, he knew that as he was leaving, we would need another comforter, another helper, one just like him, a paraclete, which is the Greek word for it, one just like him. He knew that as he was leaving to go and take his place next to the Father, that we would need the Holy Spirit. In John 17, he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And the unity that he wants us to live in, so the world may see him in us. You see, that spirit of intercession, and we go back to our opening scripture, it says, open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. You see, intercession is for others. Prayer is for others. We have needs, yes, and we can pray about those needs. But when that spirit of intercession comes on you, it's praying for the needs of others. It's asking God to make manifest his will in our prayer as we pray for those needs of others, for the salvation of this community and beyond, so that everyone in this place, even if they don't accept Jesus, they would know that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And that's our mandate, that we would make manifest the reason why we are here, to lift Jesus high, to lift him up, that he would know, that they would know that he is the way. Amazing, amazing. Romans 8:34 tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And Hebrews 7:25, hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Paul wanted us, he wanted to be sure that those Colossian Christians understood what it was they were to pray for. He wanted them to pray with a specific purpose. He wanted them to pray for him, asking God to open a door so that they could speak to the gospel. It was the gospel that Paul lived for. It was the preaching of the gospel that put Paul in prison in the first place. That's why he says he's in chains. And he's in chains and he's praying and interceding for all of those that don't yet know Jesus. Paul in prison, it was the preaching of the gospel that was ever at the forefront of Paul's mind. And Paul wanted God's kingdom to expand. Like Jesus, he was concerned for others, about their souls, their salvation, and their lives. And Paul didn't ask them to pray for his legal situation or that he'd be released from prison. He was asking them to pray that he'll have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine the Apostle Paul locked up in jail, in chains, and he's not saying, oh, God, get me out of here. He's saying, Lord, let your spirit be made manifest that I may speak of you, that they will know salvation. You see, it's others-focused. And that's what happens when we're Christ-centered. When we're Christ-centered and God-focused, we position ourselves to hear from God, know from heaven that it's not just about us. You see, we haven't been saved just to be blessed, but we've been saved to be a blessing. That wherever we go and whatever we do, we can speak Jesus, we can speak hope, we can speak life, no matter what our circumstances are looking like. And as Paul was in jail, chained up, locked up, not knowing what the future would be, he wasn't afraid, he wasn't fearful, he wasn't thumb-sucking, he wasn't, why has this happened to me? He was, Lord, let me speak your word, let me speak your word. Paul wanted their prayers to be in accordance with God's will, not our will. And Paul was always concerned with doing the will of God. How many of our prayers, and when you stop and think about it, your prayer life, how much of it is centered on what's happening in your life? And that's okay, because God wants us to commune with Him about everything that's happening in our lives. But then how much of it is other focused? Praying for each other, praying for the church, praying for our workers on the field overseas, praying for the gospel to go into this community, praying for your neighbours, praying for unsaved friends and family, praying for restoration of backsliders, praying for God's will be done, praying God download those visionary ideas that you want me to walk in so that we can expand this kingdom in Murray Bridge and throughout the Adelaide Hills and beyond with the life-saving message of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been really challenged as I've prepared this message. Really challenged. And you know, when you start to grow in certain things, for all the ladies here who've had babies, you know that when you grow, you can get stretch marks. But to birth something, to bring something new to life, there is discomfort. There can be stretch marks. There can be a travailing before those things are brought to life, and that's where that intercession comes back in again. That God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Do you know, last week when Pastor Vic was having some rehab, one of the therapists came to the house and was chatting and said, "You're pastors, aren't you?" And we said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, what do you do?" And we told her, you know, we pastor a church, and but what do you believe? Oh, and it was like, wow. And Vic just looked at me and gave me the nod. And I said, "Well, we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and we believe that God the Father sent Jesus to die in our place for our sins." And she nodded. She said, "That's pretty cool, that." I said, "Yes, it is." And she said, "Well, what about all the rules and regulations?" And I said, "Well, you know, we're in the new covenant." And I said, "The rules exist, but I said, God's given us grace." "Oh, that's all right, that," she said. And she went away from the place, and we're like, whatever the circumstances are that are happening in our lives at the moment, God is on the throne. God is, and it's amazing because God is bringing people to our door to shine Jesus, to share Jesus, to talk about the hope that we have, to not receive the medical diagnoses, but to say, "My God's a miracle working God." You might say that, but God says. And you know, no matter what you're going through, God is bringing people into your lives to speak that truth, because the people of this city and this nation and this world need to see faith at work in our lives, so that doesn't matter what's happening in our lives, we can speak Jesus, we can speak hope, we can speak life, we can speak the promise of God, and we can speak that it is for them, everyone, that Christ died for everyone in this world, not just for we. Yeah, intercessory prayer changes things. Do you remember, there was a man back in last century, his name was Rhys Howells. He was a Welsh man. He wrote the book called The Intercessor, and it was the first Christian book I ever read when I came to faith in Christ. And he had a gift of intercession, and it says that some of the prayers that were prayed by that man and his wife at the time actually changed the course of World War II, and it's documented that things that were coming in, invasions that were happening, and he was on his knees and praying and interceding, praying in the Spirit, praying, "God, your will, God, your will," not understanding what it was even about, but those prayers changed the course of World War II. And you think about the countless lives that would have been changed because of those prayers. And you think about the lives that if he hadn't prayed, God would have raised somebody else up to pray, but if he hadn't prayed those prayers, How many of those lives would have been lost and not lived on to find salvation in Christ? You see, we mustn't ever minimize the fact that our prayer is powerful, and that if we're praying in accordance with God's will, that then what he does with it is his business. The burden that comes upon us when we pray is powerful. Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts know that the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we've been at the Western Wall in Jerusalem, the men and women are separated because it's Old Testament. And I've stood at that Western Wall and watched women travailing in prayer at that wall. And it's such a moving thing because they've got their heads covered, Jewish women. And they go to the wall and they're really touching God, touching heaven. And they're groaning, and they start to rock, and they really start to intercede for what God wants to do through their prayers. And that's powerful. Have you ever been in a place where you've been praying so hard that you start to groan and you feel a heaviness in your spirit and you start to rock, and everything outside of the realm of the Spirit just disappears and you are in that place of intimacy with God? It's the best place ever. It's the best place ever. And out of that place of intimacy with God, you get the strength to move on outside that time of prayer. Intercession. Prayer internalizes the burden. It deepens our ownership of the burden and our partnership with God. And as we pray, we begin to become aware of how God might want to answer us. You see, sometimes the way we pray, God, I want you to do this and I want you to do that, it might not be God's will. So coming into that place of intimacy with God is allowing him to direct our prayers and adjust our thinking to his will, not our will. Prayer forces us to wait. Part of prayer is waiting for God. And God has three answers to prayer. It's yes, it's no, and it's later. Yes and no are easy, but wait. Wait. Instead of wanting God to be on our schedule, prayer forces us to be on God's timetable. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Prayer opens our spiritual eyes. It enables us to get in touch with what God is doing and how he is doing it. In 2 Kings 6, the army of Israel was surrounded by their enemies, and Elijah's servant got nervous. In verses 15 to 17, it says, "Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered and he said, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." That gives me goosebumps. Seeing with the eyes of the Spirit. Prayer opens our spiritual eyes, enabling us to see what God's doing, to see the things that we're blinded to without prayer. You see, unless we are at prayer and in that place of God's presence, all we can see is the natural realm and the realm of the soul and our thoughts and our feelings and what we see. But when we come into that place of intimacy with God and say, "God, open my eyes," That's when he starts to adjust and align our thinking to be in line with what he wants us to think. It aligns our heart with God's heart. Adjustment, alignment, and setting our thoughts and our emotions perfectly in alignment with God. And that sounds like a difficult thing, but you know what? It's the persistence, and it's the passion, and it's the praise, and it's positioning in that intercessory thing that brings all of those alignments to place. Amazing. Prayer engages God, enables God's people, and it enlarges his kingdom. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I like to say that without him, we can do no thing. No thing of an eternal consequence without him. Until we've prayed, we can do nothing. But once we've prayed, we can accomplish anything that's in his will. I just wonder today, you know, I've been so challenged by God in my prayer life. And it's easy to pray when you have need. But I've really been challenged in, you know, things that don't appear to be the way you thought they were going to be. What about that, God? But in that place of intercession, in that place of intimacy with God, he brings that alignment. You see, it's a kingdom perspective, not a personal empire perspective for each of us. It's seeing through the eyes of faith. It's believing the word that he speaks into our hearts as we come into that place. It's stepping out in faith, in prayer, praying the promises of God, praying the word of God, praying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then it's holding fast in hope for what you want God to do in your life. And then he will adjust in your heart attitude as we go. Are our prayers passionate, or are they just habit? Are they filled with intensity and fervor, or are they weak or timid or lacking in faith? And what about gratitude? Do we spend that time thanking God just for the fact that we're alive today in this place? Who are you praying for in your life that needs to come to a knowledge of Jesus, that needs to be restored to Jesus? Who are you praying for today? Who are you interceding for? Like Paul, don't get me out of jail, Lord. Just give me the words to speak, the mystery of Christ. Make manifest in me your words that I can speak of the hope that we have. We could talk for a month of Sundays just on prayer. But I just sense that's what God has given me to share with you last week and this week. And as I've been challenged, I pray you'll be challenged too. You may have an amazing prayer life. You may be on your knees and praying in the Spirit and really, really touching heaven to change earth. But can I say today, I really sense there's more, and God wants us to bring us. God wants us to bring our hearts to him so that he can change our hearts and align our thinking with the heavenly thinking and his will in our lives, in our family, in our community. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today, Lord, Lord, you gave Jesus to us for so much. A sinless sacrifice for us, Lord, that we would know that, Lord, no matter what is happening, that Jesus has paved the way, Jesus has gone before us, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father now making intercession for us. And Lord God, we thank you today for the power of prayer. Lord, you've given us this prayer. It's a gift that you've given us that we can communicate with you. But if there's someone in this house today that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and as Savior, who has never given their heart to Jesus, then the time is right just to reach out and say, Lord, I give my life to you now. Take my life. Direct my path. Take me into a place of intimacy with you, and I want to be your child. If there's someone in this place today, and that's you, God wants to touch your life. Just reach out to him now in this place. Reach out to Jesus. Ask him to be your Lord. Ask him to be your Savior.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.